your family members to the Lord Jesus Christ. In these two passages of Scripture, we're going to notice the right way to come and the wrong way to come. We're going to notice a way that most of us bring our kids to Christ. And they're going to notice a way that some of us, or very few, come. And what we'll see is that the results in coming the way God wants us to come makes all the difference in the world in bringing our family to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter number 20, verses 1 through 8, we'll notice that there's the story of Zebedee's wife, or the sons of Zebedee's mother. Remember that story and how she said, "Hey, I need to find out something. I need to bring my sons to the Lord Jesus Christ because I want Jesus to do a work in their lives in such a way that one day they'll be seated on His right hand and on His left when He's in His kingdom." And the Bible says that when she came to Him, she worshiped Him. She came in such a way that it appeared as if she was really sincere in her heart, that she was really heartbroken over what was going on in the lives of her sons, and that she wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to lift them up and to put them in positions of authority. And of course, while she was worshiping the Lord Jesus, Jesus asked her the question, "What would you want? What is it that you need?" I believe that Jesus knew that lady's heart. I believe that He knew that what she wanted was a selfish desire, that she wanted her sons to have power that would be given to them sometime in the future when Jesus set up His kingdom. And so Jesus questioned her in the middle of what she would have called her worship. Well, I tell you, when we come to the house of the Lord and our motivations are not correct, God knows our heart. We can pretend, we can put on a front, we can put on a show, we can bow down like this lady did. There's many things that we can do that would express what would be called the outward appearances of worship, but Jesus knows whether or not it's real. And so we notice that the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were not granted what this mother wanted. Now I want us to look, we're going to look at that by way of introduction, at a man who came the correct way. But even though he brought his one very demon-possessed, very sick, this young man, he was in such a condition that he was casting himself in the water and the fire trying to commit suicide, that even though this was a bad situation, Jesus did something about it because of this man's way of coming, what was in his heart when he came. And then not only that, what we've got to realize is that in order to see this miracle take place, see this man's son's life totally changed and transformed, and him be a child of God, cleaned up, not demon-possessed anymore, in order for that to take place, it was going to be a difficult road. And every one of us know this morning, there is no easy road in raising our children, in raising our family, in doing what God's called us to do. Now, Zebedee's wife, the mother of Zebedee's sons, Miss Zebedee, she wanted an easy road. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ told her that the Son of Man has come to minister to, not to be ministered to serve, that they should do the same. And He even shared with them a little bit about the difficult road that he would have to go down in going to the cross and suffering for the sins of the world. And he asked them this question. He said, can you also drink of this cup that I'm going to have to drink from? And they said, oh, we can. We can do that. He said, you may drink of that cup. But he said, the positions that you're longing for are only to be given by my heavenly Father in his kingdom. And so, they walked away without receiving anything because of the approach that they came with. This man, we don't even know his name. We don't know all of the circumstances in his life. But we know this, whenever Jesus worked a miracle in their lives and in this family, they went home rejoicing and fulfilled. Look at what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 9, verse number 14. It says, and when he came to his disciples, first he brought the disciple or brought the sick young man to the disciples. And he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. So there was a great amount of people that were running to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked the scribes, what question ye of them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Notice, he didn't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to clean my son up, put him in his right mind, and give him power and authority, and give him wealth and success. He didn't come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want my son to be popular. I want him to have a lot of friends. I want him to be wealthy in this world. He didn't say any of that. He simply said, have compassion on us and help us. He's saying, we need you, Lord. He's saying, I've tried to do it myself. I worked to help this boy. I tried to clean up his act. I tried to get the demon out of him. I tried to make him what he needed to be, but I can't do it. And now I'm desperate. And you're the only one that can. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, I believe in you, Lord. I've got faith, but it's not what it needs to be. I want to tell you what, that's humility. That's humility. That's admitting, hey, I have belief. I believe you're able to heal. I believe you're a miracle worker. I believe you're a Savior. I believe that you can do a great thing in my son's life. But yet, hey, Lord, I need help with my unbelief. Every one of us have been in that state of mind if we were willing to admit it. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Let's go to the Lord. Dear God, we come to you at this time in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you'll take something that is said here this morning, write it upon our hearts and apply it to our lives. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We don't deserve to be in your house this morning. It's all because of your mercy and your grace. It's all because of the fact that you went to Calvary's Hill 2,000 years ago and gave your life for the sins of this world. That's the reason why we're able to be here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll take this lesson, something in this message, and write it on our hearts and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name and by his blood we pray. Amen and amen. I'll admit now that I'm a parent. I wish my children were able to be here this morning. My wife is sick. Please pray for her. Now that I'm a parent, I find myself saying these same words that this man said to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Help thou mine unbelief." I've had to realize that only God is able. Only He can make the difference in my children's lives that need to be made. I can try, I can teach them, I can train them up the way the Bible says and the way they should go. And we pray that word will be put in their heart, and if it is, they will not depart from it. Oh, they may run, no doubt, that happens. But that word that is inerrant and infallible and eternal that is planted within their hearts, they can never get that out. That's always going to be there. And no matter how fast they try to run, they won't get away from the word or the seed of God's word that's been planted in their heart. That's my job. That's my job. That's our job as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, is to plant that seed in the hearts of our children. And Paul said that God would then what? Water it and make it grow. And we have to trust in Him. We just have to turn them over to Him and put those kids in His hands and say, "Oh God, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want to tell you something, folks. You will not learn how to pray till you come up under an attack that's against your family. When it's against your family, when it's against your home, when it's against your wife or your husband or your children or your loved one that you care about with all of your heart and that you have unconditional love for, you won't start falling down flat on your face and crying out to God until they come up and under attack. And I can assure you, my friends, listen to me this morning, if you are living for God, if you're taking a stand in your home, if you're trying to protect your home from the wiles of the devil, if you're refusing to give place to the devil in your home and in your family, you are going to come up under attack. The devil has got his sights set on you, and he wants to destroy your life. You're going to see your kids rebel at times. You're going to see problems. You're going to see trial. You're going to see controversy. You're going to have all different things come at you from all different directions, and you're going to think to yourself, "Hey, if it's going to be this hard, I'd rather just be dead." But that still, small voice, the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of you, is going to speak to you. You have responsibilities. You have been put in the position that you're in for such a time as this. And you've got to be willing to come to God, not the way that Zebedee's wife came, not the way that the mother of Zebedee's children came, but you've got to be willing to come like this man came in the text that I'm talking about. When we look at our children, many of them being raised in Christian homes, some of them in Bible-believing homes, some of them raised in church, we're noticing that when they leave the home and they go out into the secular universities, that 80% of them are falling away from Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches and the faith that their parents taught them. 80%, that's the statistics, are falling in to the drug and alcohol scene, falling in to this wicked world, putting everything that this world has to offer before Almighty God and before what their parents have taught and have set the example of. And it's sad and it's heartbreaking. And it was heartbreaking for the Lord Jesus Christ when He looked out at those disciples who had tried to cast the demon out of the boy, and they didn't have the ability to do it because they had not been fasting and praying. When He looked out at those scribes and Pharisees who had come on the scene, and all they were there to do was just to criticize. Only reason they showed up over there was to say, I told y'all that that church crowd, I told y'all that them disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have the power to do anything. They were there to tell that man that he ought to give up. That he ought to walk away. That he ought not to even try anymore. That he ought to just throw in the towel. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, listen to me. There's always going to be somebody that's going to come to you and whisper in your ear that you ought to quit. The temptation to quit and to give up is the strongest temptation that you'll have in your life as you're trying to lead your family. The temptation just to say, it's useless. Why in the world would I even get them under preaching? Why in the world would I take them to Sunday school? Why in the world would I take them and have a devotion with them before bedtime? Why in the world would I pray with my kid? Why in the world would I do any of this stuff? Hey, I might as well just quit. It's not working. When somebody listens to the religious hypocrites and those who show up on the scene just to criticize and to tear down and to bring up all of your faults and all of your failures and to say you don't have faith, if you listen to them, you'll never get your child to Jesus. We see that this man, he saw them, he heard them. He saw the disciples trying to cast out the demon. He saw the great crowds of people that had gathered around that day. And I'm sure he was embarrassed. Think about it. Your child lying there, foaming at the mouth, contorting in his body, trying to commit suicide, doing all this crazy stuff, full of the devil. And here all these people are to gather around and watch it. It's heartbreaking. I'm sure that man felt as if there was nobody that really cared. He probably even thought the disciples, oh, they're just trying, but they don't really care. If they cared, they could do something. He probably thought, I know all these other folks that have gathered around, they could care less what's going on in my home. I'm going to tell you, you will feel that way. You will. When trouble strikes, difficulties hit, trials come into your home, there's rebellion, there's hardships, there's heartache, There's times when you don't have enough money to pay the bills. There's times when you are not able to provide. There's times when you're sick and you're not able to go to work. There's times whenever you're not able to get your kids to church because of the problems and the trials that have hit and all this stuff is going on and all the demons and the devils of hell have come up against you and it's all breaking loose. You are going to feel like nobody cares. They may be up at the church praying for you in the altar. They may be calling. They may be sending you cards and letters. But you're still going to feel like you're all alone in the matter. Do you know you can feel like you're all alone even in the middle of a crowd? Even though many have gathered around. You begin to think in your mind, what do they think about me? We got these problems here. We got all this sickness. The demons have come up against our home and our family. What do they think? What's going on in their minds? I want to tell you what, folks, listen to me. If this man would have stayed in that position that he was in when he heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had come on the scene, his son would have never had the demon cast out of him. If he would have stayed in that condition, wallowing, worrying, down and defeated, thinking there's nothing that can be done, these people don't care about me, the disciples, they don't have the ability to do anything for me, I can't be helped. If he would have stayed in that shape, if he would have stayed down and discouraged, if he would have stayed in a condition where he had quit, listen to me, he would have never solved a miracle. That's why the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, he said, no matter what happens, no matter how hard it gets, he told that young man, he said, keep the faith. Amen. He said, you may have somebody sick, you may be sick in your stomach, keep the faith. The church in Ephesus, they may want to run you off, they may hate your guts, they may want you stoned, keep the faith. He said, they may despise your youth, they may not listen to you. They may not want to hear your preaching. Keep the faith. You may be having hard times at home. You may be having hard times with your wife and kids. You may be having a difficult life. Young Timothy, what you need to do is be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus and keep the faith. He said, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Thus there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. He said, no matter what happens to you, no matter who turns their back on you, no matter who talks about you or criticizes or gossips about you, no matter who brings up something about you, no matter who looks down their nose at you, he said, you just keep the faith. This man had some faith. Said it wasn't much, but he had some. Because when he saw Jesus and he saw that crowd, Bible says they went and gathered around Christ. They weren't concerned about his boy laying over on the ground wallowing, foaming. They wanted their own selfish desires met. Just like that woman that came and was worshiping Jesus, worshiping him in false pretense. You can do that. You can pretend. You can put on a front. You can put on a show. This man said, hey, I got too much going on. There's too much at stake. I got a little old boy that's been sick from the time that he is a child. I got a son that's trying to commit suicide. I got too much going on to be a fake. Hey, you want to find out when you'll decide you're going to start being real when it comes to coming down to the house of God? You have everything hit from out of the blue. You have all these problems and you have this child that's sick, and I guarantee you, you'll begin. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're a child of God, you'll get rid of all of that veneer that you've got covered up. You'll get rid of that fake smile. You'll get rid of that pretending. You'll get rid of all of that show that you're putting on, and all of a sudden you'll come and you'll be broken before God. And you won't be concerned about what anybody's thinking or what they're saying. He wasn't concerned about it. You know what I believe he did? This is how I picture it in my mind. Because the Bible says there were so many people that was packed around and crowded around Jesus. And he had his son over here, and those disciples had failed in their efforts to help him. He decided, he said, I'm going to get my son there no matter what. And he picked up his son up off of the ground, and he ran with that boy, and he went through him like a lineman on a football team. And it didn't make no difference who stood in his way. He had a son that needed to see Jesus, that he needed to get to Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, you're going to come to a day and an hour when people will finally decide, they'll finally conclude, hey, I need to get my child, I need to get my family, I need to get them in under the preaching of the Word of God, I need to get them in the house of God, I need to get them in under something that's going to help them. I need somebody that's going to tell them what the Bible says. I need somebody that's going to tell them like it is. I don't need somebody that's going to sugarcoat it. I don't need somebody that's going to give them a soft message. I don't need somebody that's going to tell them, you're all right and everybody's all right. You just go home and you just go home. You just, your thing be okay. You need somebody that's going to tell the truth. This man wanted to get his son to Jesus because he knew that Jesus wouldn't play in any games. The game playing time is over with. The devil's running rimshod. He's wreaking havoc. He's stealing, killing, and destroying, and laughing all the way about it. Thinks it's a joke. I want to tell you, this man right here had come to a place and a point where getting to the Lord Jesus Christ was the most important thing that could happen to him in his life. And when he got his son to the Lord Jesus, he didn't hold nothing back. He didn't try to hide nothing. He didn't walk up there with a smile on his face saying, oh, the boy's okay. He's really okay. There's really not anything wrong with him. He's not demon-possessed, nothing like that. He's just got a few, you know, psychological things going on. I want to tell you, listen, folks. One of our problems today is this. We blame it on everything else but the devil. We blame it on everything else. We don't want to say it's demonic possession. We don't want to say that Satan's got a hold of their life. We want to say, hey, it just must be some kind of psychological disorder that they've got. Maybe I can take them down there and get them some drugs to take. If they take these drugs that the doctor gives them, they'll be all right. It's not really spiritual. Well, I know sometimes that you go to the doctors and doctors can help. I believe that. Doctors do help people with psychological problems. I understand all of that. But what we have done is we have become so practical that we have failed to realize that there is a spiritual dynamic to every situation that we're in. We have left God totally out of the picture. We have depended upon these earthly physicians to such a degree that we don't come to the great physician, the very one who said, who needs a doctor? The sick. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you need to get them to Him. You need to get them to Him. He's the one. He's the only one that can make a difference in their life. He's the only one that can make them a new creature. He's the only one that can change them. They may say, hey, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. And they may get determined and they may pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and they may quit a few things, but it's not going to last unless there is a transformation that takes place, a regeneration, a renewal, a miracle, salvation. That's what this young man needed. We need some more parents and grandparents who will say, hey, I tell you what, my child just needs to be saved. Sure, I know that they're hooked on drugs. I know they're hooked on alcohol. I know all that stuff. But listen, I know this. I need them to be born again. I need them to hear the gospel. I need to share with them the truth. I need to be a good witness. See, this man we're talking about that brought his son to Jesus, he knew that he didn't have very much faith. He admitted it, that it was small. I'm glad that he did admit that. If he wouldn't have admitted that, the Lord couldn't have done anything for him. Or the Lord wouldn't have done anything for him. We don't have any idea what kind of a testimony that this man was. We don't know what kind of a witness that he was for his child. We don't know whether he had trained the boy up in the way that he should go. We don't know whether he had been all that he needed to be in his life, in the house. But we do know this. His faith was small. And that demon that was living in that boy knew it. Oh, them demons are smart. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came up upon Legion, remember Legion was out there and he was cutting himself. He was trying to commit suicide and living out in the graveyard. They couldn't even keep him shackled. He was breaking the shackles off of his arms and running around wild out in the graveyard. And Jesus came across the Sea of Gennesaret and came out there on the bank of the sea. And all of a sudden that demon comes down there and meets the Lord Jesus. You know what he says? He says, have you come to torture me before the appointed time, O Son of God? That demon knew exactly who Jesus was. Knew exactly what Jesus was able to do. Jesus cast the demon out of Legion, and those demons went into those swine. But I want to tell you, folks, listen. That demon that was in that boy knew that this man, this father, at this point and stage in his life, had very little faith. That he needed his faith to be increased. Until it happened, he was going to remain sick. He was going to remain demon-possessed. He was going to remain the way he was. There wasn't going to be a change. You say, how can you say that, Brother Terry? How can you say that? Well, because when he brought the boy, y'all don't mind if I preach for a little while this morning, I hope. When he brought the boy to Jesus, and there's that boy wallowing around, foaming at the mouth, contorting in his body, all them people are gathered around, and they're watching all of that right there going on. Jesus looked at the daddy. How long has he been that way? Jesus turned and looked at the daddy when the boy was in that condition that he was in. Why? Because Jesus knew he had to deal with that daddy before anything real was going to happen in that boy. For years, and there's several. I appreciate Randy being here today. He's been a blessing to me. He mows my yard. It's just encouraged me. I thank God for him. Been my next door neighbor for 15 years, ain't it? 15 years I've lived over there. For years, we brought kids up here to church. Went out and picked them up on the church van. Randy saw us doing it, bringing them up here to this church. Tell them about Jesus. And I believe in doing that. I believe in doing that. Bringing them up here, telling them about Jesus. I seen them make professions of their faith. No doubt some of them were saved. But I never saw anything happen as far as changing their life unless their parents got right. If I did not reach their parents, no change took place in the child. I believe in picking them up. I'll pick them up till the day I die if I can. But I'll tell you, my friend, if you don't reach mama and daddy, you ain't going to see them children's lives changed. Because when they come back home, even though they may have been saved at church, and they see all of that junk that's going on. I have drove that church van and been out there on the road, and there was one young lady, she was trying to put her fist through the glass, just hitting the glass, trying to bust it. After I got her to her house, went to the house to talk to the parents, and the parents just cussed me out right there on the front porch. One time one child was acting up. I went to his house to talk to his parents, walked in there to talk to them. They're sitting there watching pornography on the television, right in front of their children. All I could do is say, I turn around and walk out. I want to tell you something, folks. That's the kind of mess that they're going back to. And if that don't change, that child's life's not going to change. Maybe later on down the road when they get older, sure. But at that point, at that stage, and at that time, it's not going to happen unless you reach them parents. Whenever Jesus saw the crowds, when he saw the people, when he saw the boy, he turned to the dad and said, "How long? How long has he been that way?" And the dad said, "From the time that he was a child. From the time that he was young, he's been in this condition." And the dad said, "If you can have compassion on us and help us, could you please do something, anything? Didn't tell Jesus what to do. Whenever you come broken before him, you don't tell him what to do. Jesus had the power, if he had wanted to have walked away from that scene and left them in the condition that they were in. Jesus didn't always heal everybody, and he didn't always cast out all demons. He did the ones that he chose to cast out. The blinded eyes that he chose to make see. Those that were lame that he chose to make walk. He chose to do it. You didn't make him do it. And that's one thing that we don't realize today. You don't force God to do anything. He's not going to do it unless it's his will. Until I decide that I'm going to come broken and fall before him, and I'm going to be like this man and have a desire in my heart to be broken over the situation to a degree that I know I can't do anything for myself, I can't do anything for my family, I can't change the life of my children, I can't make anything better in my home, I can't cause revival down at the church, I can't make people come to church, I can't make people do nothing. Only God can do it. Until I come and say, "Oh God, help me with my unbelief." Not going to see it happen. A lot of folks, I'm sure, probably made a lot of resolutions, a lot of things you decided to do this year. And I hope those changes happen in your life. I really do. But if God don't make the changes, if he don't give you the strength to keep the commitments, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. The Lord Jesus Christ cast the demon out of the boy. The disciples, like we as the church today, they came to Jesus, said, "Why did we not have the power to do that? Why could we not see it happen?" Jesus said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." And until we as the church of the living God fall on our hands and knees and begin to fast and pray, we're not going to see that kind of power. We're not going to see revival. We're not going to see souls saved. We're not going to see lives changed. We're not going to see a change happen in our families, in our homes, in our lives, with our children, with our loved ones. We're not going to see anything until we come and we fast and we pray and we cry out to God to have compassion on us and help us. And we got to be willing to admit our condition. We got to be willing to admit our condition. We got to come. We can't try to hide it. We got to open our hearts and say, oh God, I'm not what I need to be. I remember it was, I was 22, I'm 40 now. Well, 18 years ago over Glenfield Baptist Church, I'll never forget, God showed me I wasn't a Christian. I thought I was. I'd went to church. My mama had carried me to church. I'd been baptized. But I wasn't a Christian. I'd tried to clean up my act. I'd tried to do better. I'd worked on it. But I kept on going back into the world, into the wickedness, living for the devil. And it wasn't until God showed me my problem that I was lost, that I was on my way to hell and that I deserved to go. It wasn't until then that I could be saved and my life could truly be changed. It's not until that point that we really open up and show Him what's going on in here and let God know and stop hiding it, stop covering it up, and just be honest between us and God. It isn't until that point that we'll see God do a great work and we'll see Him work miracles in hearts and